Today we're going to talk about Peter. And we're going to talk about, well, all of the disciples really, but particularly Peter. See, Peter did something at the night of the betrayal of Jesus. Like the other apostles, he fled. And the difference was he came back. And but he was a little too far away from Jesus. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. These are Jesus' final hours. He is preparing his disciples on this night for the greatest event that will ever take place in the history of mankind. This event was far greater than Moses parting the Red Sea through the power of God. This miracle was far greater than Jonah being swallowed alive by a whale and staying in there for 3 days and then being returned. This is a far greater event than the fire and brimstone that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the greatest event in the history of mankind. There will never be another event like it. It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus has just instituted the Lord's Supper, and he is telling his disciples of events that are about to take place. When they finish the Passover meal, he says some very frightening words to his disciples. He says, "All of you will be made to stumble this night because of me." These are Jesus' most devoted people. These are the ones that he chose to follow him, to be his apostles, to carry on the work when he leaves. These were his closest entourage of friends. More so than anyone else, he spent time with them, teaching them, loving them, associating himself with them. And now they will all be made to stumble because of him. Now it's interesting to note the Apostle Peter. Now we know the history of Peter. Peter was a little bit brash. Peter was a little bit abrupt. Peter was very quick to move. He was one of those, the mouth went into the motion before the mind went into gear. And this is exactly what he is about to do. Peter says, when Jesus tells them this, he says, "Not me, Lord. I will never stumble because of you. Even if everyone else does, if these other guys, if they fall away from you, I will not." Now, I don't really think that Peter was trying to brag here. I think what he was doing was trying to offer support to his Lord. He is basically saying, "Lord, I love you and I will never leave you. I will always stand by your side." Because wouldn't we say the same thing today as Christians? I mean, we are all here today, children of God, and we love our Lord, and we are here because our love is there and because we want to show our love for the Lord. So wouldn't we really want to say the very same thing? "Lord, I will never leave you. If everybody else walks out of this room, I will never do it." His love was there. But you see, Peter doesn't really understand the events that are about to happen. He doesn't understand that these things must take place the way Jesus has said they're going to take place. So Jesus has to basically put Peter in his place and tell him, "Yes, you will stumble. In fact, you are going to stumble 3 times before morning comes." And again, Peter pops off and he says, "No, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And then, of course, we know that the other disciples, they chimed in as well. "Lord, I will stay with you. Lord, I will be here. Lord, I will love you always." But yet they did all flee. We do know that Peter did deny Jesus three times, just as Jesus said that he would. In fact, all through that night, we find Peter making mistake after mistake after mistake. His problems escalated as the night progressed. Now, first of all, what I want to do is I want us to take a look at some of the mistakes that Peter made that led to this denial. First of all, he was overconfident with himself. He states twice, "I will be faithful to you, Lord. I will not leave you, Lord. If everybody else leaves you, fine. I will not." He even goes on to say, "I am willing to die with you if I need to, but I will not leave you." Now again, this was totally against the words of Christ. This went totally against the purpose of Jesus' coming to this earth. Because you see, he came here to do exactly what he was about to do. That was his reason for coming. And no man could stop it. Peter could not stop it, even though he wanted to try. Now, no doubt Peter had seen disciples leave Jesus before. In fact, we have reference in one occasion on John chapter 6 in verse 66. In Capernaum, many disciples went away and walked with him no more. That scripture tells us. But Peter didn't leave Jesus then. And he has no intention of leaving Jesus now. And when we think about Peter's past, Peter was always with him. From the time that Jesus said, "Follow me," until the time that he fled on the night of the betrayal, Peter was always with Jesus. And he could think back and think about all the times that he was with Jesus, seeing Jesus do what he did. He went out on the limited commission for Jesus, did miracles for Jesus, taught the word for Jesus, did all of these things. But yet he failed. And we can put ourselves in those shoes. As children of God, we have walked this earth as children of God. We have talked to other people about Jesus. We have taken the communion to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. We have obeyed the gospel as it has been given to us. And we have walked with Jesus every day. But there's something else that we have done. We have failed. Every one of us have done things that are wrong. Every one of us who have sinned after we have followed Jesus. And Peter has done it here and now. We can't use our successes in the past to sustain us. We can't use our failures as an excuse to stop. We must continue. Peter felt like he was strong enough. He would never fail his Lord. He was overconfident. Sometimes we may feel the same way. But remember, we're all alike. As Paul has said, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Second thing that Peter did, he failed to take the occasion seriously. Well, you know, when you read the whole story of Peter, he was a pretty serious fellow, wasn't he? He was quick to act. He was quick to speak. He was an impulsive man, no doubt. But on one occasion, he didn't take it very seriously. When they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has come to his darkest hour. He is looking at crucifixion. And we need to remember now, not only is he the Son of God, he is also 100% human. He feels pain like you and I feel pain. He bleeds like you and I bleed. He worries like you and I worry. Things bother him just like they bother you and me. And Jesus was bothered this night. It says that he even sweat drops as blood falling from his face, because he was so upset, and he begs his heavenly Father, "Father, let this pass. If there is any other way to do this, let's do this a different way. He did not like the situation that he was in, even though he knew this is why he came. It was his darkest hour. So he goes to the garden to pray. And he takes his closest companions with him. Peter being one of them. And when he steps a few feet away to pray to his heavenly Father, Peter, James, John sit there and go to sleep. They did not see the urgency of the moment. They did not see the gravity of the situation that was about to take place. And when Jesus sees this, he comes back to them and he rebukes them. Look at what I'm going through. Look at what is fixing to happen to me. And you lay here and sleep? That was a problem. He didn't take it seriously. Third problem, he prepared himself for the wrong battle. In verse 51, when the soldiers came and they began to take Jesus into custody to take him for his trial, it was impulsive Peter that drew his sword. It was impulsive Peter that struck Malchus the soldier on the ear and cut off his ear. He was ready to go to battle. And he was ready to go to a physical battle. Now me, I think he was absolutely crazy. I mean, you think about it. There were soldiers all around there. It wasn't just the one there. There were a lot of soldiers there. It was a battle Peter was not going to win. They would have cut him down in a heartbeat. But we have impulsive Peter here. So Peter struck to do physical damage. And he did so to help his Lord. But Jesus' battle is not physical. In fact, he said, you know, if I wanted to, I could send down 10,000 angels. I could destroy this whole Roman army without a thought. But that's not why he came. When the real battle came, Peter was not ready. Peter fell apart. God has told us that we need to prepare for a battle. And the reason we need to prepare for this battle is because Satan will take advantage of us. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. Satan took advantage of Peter. And that's why he denied his Lord. Does Satan take advantage of us today? Of course he does. Every opportunity that he has, he will take advantage of you. Peter drew his sword. He was ready to fight. But he had prepared for the wrong battle. The next problem was he followed at a distance. Now, Scripture tells us that all of the disciples fled. But it also tells us that Peter came back. He wanted to see what was going to happen. The only problem was he kept himself at a distance from the Lord. And that would prove to be devastating to him later on. And again, let's put ourselves in Peter's shoes. When you follow your Lord, do you follow him close? Or do you follow him at a distance? Do you stay as close to your Christianity as you can, or do you get as far away from it as you can, and so you can say, well, I'm a Christian, but I still love these worldly things? And you've heard me talk about straddling that fence with Christ on one side, the world on the other side, and you want to be right in the middle because you want it both ways. Friends, you can't have it both ways. You can't love God and mammon at the same time. You can't follow Christ at a distance. You've got to get as close to him as you can. So these were some of Peter's mistakes. Now, let's take a look at this. The results of following at a distance, of being too far from Christ. One of the things about Peter, when he followed at a distance, he wasn't there to stand up for Christ. Now, the trial has started, if you could call it a trial. It was a mockery of a trial. We know that. But even with the mockery of a trial, in the Roman system, anyone was allowed to be a witness and to speak up for the accused. Peter and the other apostles could have walked into that room and they could have said, "Wait a minute. Look at this man. This is the Son of God. We have been following him for 2.5 years. We know all about it. We have seen him raise the dead. We have seen him heal the sick. We have seen him walk on water. He is God's Son." They could have witnessed for him. But they all ran away. Peter was inside of him. He could have walked over there and said all of these things. But he didn't. When time came for the witness to be done, Peter was in the courtyard. He was sitting around the fire, comfortable. And the sad thing of it is, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that out there, he would not be pulled into the middle of this. He knew that out there, he would not be pinned as being with Jesus. Although that wasn't true, was it? He was still pinned with being with Jesus. He thought that he was safe by the fire. Another problem about being distant from Christ, Peter failed to suffer with him. Remember, "Lord, I'll never leave you. Lord, I will fight for you. Lord, I will die with you if I need to." Yet Peter was not willing to suffer. He was hiding under the fire or behind the fire. When time came for Peter to really fight, he chose not to. Instead, his association changed for the worst. Instead of being close to Jesus, he was close to those who were against Jesus. At a distance from Jesus, he surrounded himself with people who brought him nothing but pain and temptation. They gave him the opportunity to deny Christ. And that's exactly what he did. Listen to the Apostle Paul, folks. "With the company that you keep, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Let me tell you something, folks. You'll never have to worry about getting drunk if you don't put it in your mouth the first time. You'll never have to worry about getting hooked on smoking if you never put that cigarette up to your lips. If you will stay away from it, it will never become a part of you. We need to know that. Corruption destroys Christianity. And people who do these things tempt you to do these things and will corrupt you and destroy good habits. Look what it done to Peter. And it didn't even take 24 hours to do it. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And then being too far away from Jesus leads to sin. Peter ultimately denied his Lord 3 times, just like Jesus said he would. This bold, abrupt Peter is gone. The man who drew the sword has run away. The one who said, Lord, I will never leave you, left him. This distance from Jesus took him farther away than he ever intended to be. I want to share three statements with you, and I've preached a sermon on this before. You may remember it. Sin will do things to you. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, and that distance is farther away from Jesus. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Some people live their lives in sin and never come back. Sin will cost you more than you can ever pay, because sin will cost you your soul if you let it. And this is what happened to Peter, because he placed a distance between him and his God. You know, there is real danger in comfortable Christianity. Ask yourself this question. Do you have comfortable Christianity? Do you feel at ease being a Christian? Well, we need to be careful about that. You see, when Peter went to that fire, he was looking for comfort. He was looking to be somewhere where he wouldn't be challenged as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we in society today, we like convenience, don't we? We like to be warm in the wintertime. We like to be cool in the summer. We like to be comfortable by the fire, don't we? It's incredibly easy to let this mindset move into our hearts and into our minds, that we have to have it the way we want it in life. Peter found it this night very uncomfortable to follow Jesus. So he found his place of comfort. And it was distance. And again, we have to ask ourselves, are we following Christ at a distance? You see, we look for a comfortable doctrine. The world, the religious world, looks for a comfortable doctrine. Paul talked about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, he said, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They're not happy with what they have. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We talked about fables this morning in Bible class. And a fable is nothing more than a lie, a pretty lie. We want to find comfortable morals. We want something that we can be happy with ourselves with. You know, Peter described people who walked in immoral ways in 1 Peter 4, verse 4, in lewdness, in lust, in drunkenness, in revelries, drinking parties, and abominable adulteries. And remember what I said, if you never touch these things, they will never absorb you. If you never involve yourself with any of these things, they cannot harm you. But so many people love these things and allow themselves to be destroyed. People, today we look for comfortable fellowship. Anybody who will play ball with me and play the way I want to play is fine. How many times have you seen kids get mad because somebody didn't play his way, so he took his ball and went home? Yeah. Paul tells us, keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or not to keep company with people who are sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or an extortioner. Don't even eat with such a person, he says. Don't even associate with such a person. It's not enough that you just don't do it yourself. Don't even associate with people who do, because one of these days, they're going to pull you in. And there's not a one of us in this room who can't be pulled in. Do not be deceived. Comfort comes with a price. It is contrary to God's word. You know, true Christianity is not comfortable at times, is it? Sometimes it's just downright difficult to be a Christian. And if you can't say that, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Because yes, it is hard at times. Walking with Jesus may not be comfortable. But it is the only way to find true comfort, is to walk with Jesus. What can you expect when you walk with Jesus? Well, first of all, Christian associations. I would like to think that we are closer with each other. Those of us that are in this room, those of us who have known each other all these years, I would like to think that we are closer to each other than we are with those people outside of that room who are not children of God. We need to have a relationship with children of God, not people of the world. Like Peter, we're going to have to get out of the courtyard. We got to get away from the fire that will tempt us to sin. We, like Peter and the other disciples, we need to regroup, which they did, didn't they? They regrouped and they carried on the word. That's wonderful. We have people today who quit and they don't come back. They don't regroup. They never put God back into their life. We are told by Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. These are the ones that we need to be around. These are the relationships that we must put into our lives. And we've also got a promise from God that if we will hold our hand out for this kind of relationship, we're holding our hand out to God and He will hold His hand out to us. Hebrews 13:5, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Can you say that? Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Or do you find yourself saying, Peter, stand aside. I want to sit by you by the fire. Walking with Christ makes us become Christ-like. In fact, listen to this same Peter. Listen to what he says, 1 Peter 4:16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. You know, I bet he didn't write that sitting by the fire. But this is the same man who later on understands what he did and made it right. Friends, you can't walk to the cross with Christ without bearing your own. Paul said, we have all been united together in the likeness of his death, and certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Friends, we can think about entering heaven where Christ is. But we can't do it by the fire. We can't do it sitting by Peter when he's saying, I don't know who you are. So I ask you this morning in closing this lesson, how close are you following Jesus? Are you standing next to him as he is being grilled by the Roman government, or are you standing a long way off by a place that is comfortable for you? Today, if you're not following Christ closely, you need to look at your Christian life, walk away from that fire, and walk to the Lord. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you're not even close at all to Christ. Give your life to Him and follow Him and walk away from the fire of sin. Yes, Peter did deny the Lord 3 times. But then later on, he told the Lord he loved him three times. He stood in front of thousands of people and proclaimed that love that he had for his Lord. And he walked that path. He carried out that work even after he had denied him. And Christian, you can do the same thing. If you have put sin back into your life, you can still come back and you can still work for him. God will forgive you and bring you home. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing this song.